exclusively on CBS All Access. A Legend returns.
I have a mission. There's not a hell of a chance for somebody to stop me.
Patrick Stewart in Star Trek Picard. Now streaming only on CBS All Access.
Welcome to the Star Trek Picard podcast presented by Deadline Hollywood. I'm Dominic Patton, senior editor of Deadline Hollywood. And yes, I have been a little sick.
And I'm Jeff Boucher, the genre editor of Deadline.
We are talking today. We're at the halfway point at season one of Picard. And we are talking about episode 5, Stardust City Rag. And we have some very special guests with us today.
That's exactly right. We have executive producer Akiva Goldsman. And we have Jonathan Frakes, who is a director and, well, we know who Jonathan Frakes is.
Yeah, this is actually the second episode that Jonathan directed. He actually directed episode 4, which we talked about last week. So we are going to be talking a little bit about that. But, you know, if you've been following this podcast, you know we're kind of all over the Federation with this one.
Space-time continuum.
Mr. Jonathan Frakes, you are here with us. We are so delighted to have you here. We have you here in your capacity as a director today.
Allegedly.
They tell me, and we'd like to get a sense. Now, you not only directed episode 5, Stardust City Rag, but you also directed episode 4, which we talked about last week.
And sadly, what's the title of episode 4?
This is not Trivial Pursuit.
Absolute Candor.
Oh, well, you're absolutely...
Something I'm going to practice all day today.
Ooh, maybe don't. Maybe think maybe about... Not maybe Yeah, edit. Not absolute candor. Maybe candor-ish.
Candor-like.
Yes.
Are you guys taking this on the road?
We have
worked together
it.
Before.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard, yes, you have. Yeah. So give us a sense, coming back to this story as a director now. I mean, and clearly you have a very hefty resume as a director, but this is a little different because this is your stuff, man.
My stuff?
Yeah,
this
come on.
This is his stuff. This is Akiva's stuff.
No. Come on.
This is my...
TNG,
old,
my man.
My lover and captain, Sir Patrick Stewart. Johnny, to me, all seriousness aside,
yeah,
it was fabulous. Fabulous to be back with him, back on the show. Introducing Jerry Ryan to this audience was a privilege. The cast is a blast, as you probably know from meeting them now. It's
it
a very
problematic
show
for us because we are all
Mr. Goldsman. You know, you don't have
what?
To come.
Goldsman.
What?
You don't
what?
Have to come.
Goldsman.
What?
Goldsman.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsman, you
yes.
do not have to come
what?
And be the Grim Reaper.
But I am. I mean, have you met me? And here's the problem. Like, we all pretend to be grown-ups while making Star Trek, obviously, right? But then...
Tell them about the scene
no.
where Data and Picard
no.
played poker.
No.
And you plots like a fanboy.
Yeah, and so
and
imagine,
you ran on the stage and said, hold it.
Okay.
I have to have my picture
okay.
taken.
So imagine.
Anybody else want to have their picture taken? It's Data
did,
and Picard.
You did selfies on your own show?
On his own show
I
during production.
Selfies on your own show.
So imagine what you feel
that's
like
not being
when,
very
you,
neutral,
when you walk into your day and there is Will Riker and Jean-Luc Picard. So everybody's trying to sort of, you know... shrug it off like, you know, hey, this is what we do. And it fucked us up. It was pretty awesome. Jonathan also has this effect on Patrick. I know it was early days for us, right? And, you know, so we were still learning Patrick and Patrick was still quite serious. And then Jonathan came on.
Now, hold on. We're talking about episode 4 here, episode 5.
Episode 4.
We're talking about episode 4.
It used to be
yeah.
Episode 3. Before 1 and 2.
Okay, we've done this with
yes.
you guys
yes.
before. We know like, no Star no,
episode
no Star Trek Picard episode is the actual
correct.
Episode.
Right? So
part
we're
of the mystery of the show.
Yeah, it's an alternative
right.
universe that's within an alternative
about.
Universe.
So
here.
In the early days, we don't quite know Patrick as well as we know him now, and as well as Jonathan knew him years ago.
Sure.
So Jonathan walks on stage, and Patrick lights up. Oh. Like he's 10. And suddenly we saw what it could be like. And it kind of was that way forward. But Jonathan was the standard bearer for it's also fun and funny on set. Oh. And that was pretty delightful.
Butch and Sundance.
Like, what? Different
ending maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there a little bit like that. So now to talk to it from more of a
sweet.
I'm sweet.
He is very sweet besides the Grim Reaper.
Well, I'm a sweet reaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're a sweeper.
Oh, don't ever do that.
So easy.
I'm doing it.
So easy.
So easy. Terrible. You directed episodes back to back.
I did.
So as
formerly 3 and 4, currently 4 and 5.
And again, within the alternative universe of Star Trek Picard, the podcast, we are not actually here. But to that, just give
us. What was the title of episode 4?
Absolute Candor.
Very nice.
I'm absolutely keen on that. I wanted to know.
The former title of episode 5?
I do not know, but I think it's Ziggy Stardust.
No.
What is it?
Free Cloud.
Free Cloud. AKA, FKA, Free Cloud. Currently known as Stardust City Rag.
I think Stardust City Rag's better.
It's a great title.
Yeah. It alludes to Bowie. That's always good.
There's a lot of Bowie allusions.
Yeah, I have no problem with that ever. Mm-hmm. But give us a sense of your method and for you as a director doing episodes back to back. Is that a good thing for a director? Because can you build more or is it still chaotic?
It's still chaotic. And the intention usually of doing a block of television together, meaning two episodes together, is that you will share sets, and there will be some continuity, and it will help production, and everybody wins. When you do a block on Star Trek, the first episode 4 was a Western, and episode 5 was a futuristic nightclub show. So there was shared nothing, except Patrick was in both shows, and the regulars were in both shows.
And Goodwill.
And Goodwill.
There's a lot of Goodwill.
But
in Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid meets Studio 54. Nice.
Thank you.
Another hidden skill.
Thank you. I can do Xenons. That's another club when you were all not born. Moving
on. Wow. Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
Anyways, back on out of the rave.
It was rave-ish.
It was rave-ish. There was a nightclub full of non-terrestrials.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a very exciting opportunity for our production designers and costume designers and lighting designers and cinematographers. And we went balls out. It was great, actually.
Bejazled, not as planned. Bejazled was going to first be full prosthetics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found the car.
And then we found the car. You found the car. And then we went to costumes and we sort of handled it with wardrobe. And so the character was written for something different, you remember?
She was written to be, what was she, a snake?
No.
She was a cobra?
Fuck. Come on, Kiwi. It's the race from the animated series.
Oh.
They're Cations.
Yeah.
She was a Cation. And, as written, I remember this now.
Cations all over.
Oh, man, now he rears up on it.
Now I got this.
Now I got this.
As written, she lived in an aviary, and she ate birds with it. She was, eating them. It was fantastic. All CG, we so can't afford it character.
But this is one of the things interesting about Picard, I find, is there is no element, and maybe this is part of by having Kirsten, who wrote a number of Star Trek novels and stuff like that, there's no element of the Trek verse that's off limits here. There's no sense of that there's another that didn't happen, those people aren't here.
Well, so episodes one, seasons 1, 2, 3, the original series, and the season of the animated series are considered the first 4 seasons of the original series. So that is canon proper, as are all televised or filmed stories. Those are all canon. And they are if you're making Star Trek, especially in the unified Viacom universe.
Viacom, CBS.
Universe, CBS, Viacom, Viacom.
Viacom, CBS.
Those are sort of fair game creatively. Everything else is also fair game, but isn't considered canon. So you can cherry pick, but if you have something in the book that goes one way and the show that goes the other way, the show wins. Right? So anything that's televised or has appeared on film or on screen That's what's considered canon.
So did you have, for instance, in this episode, was there an issue where you're like, which crossroads do we take here?
No, we just couldn't afford it.
Wow.
We couldn't. It was a full CG character.
We won by having.
No, we did. Yeah. I mean, but it's sort of that thing where your limitations become, sort of the gift. But at first, it was going to be all CG, and it was, probably would have been motion capture.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, because I know Jeff and I have talked about this. And Jonathan, you mentioned it. Previous episode 4 was kind of a Western. This is a disco, intergalactical disco rave. What's going on here? Like we it feels like this is a series, and then it feels like there are these individual beings that is making up each episode of Picard.
Yeah, well, so we're doing that thing a little bit at times. By the way, these two episodes are the most standalone episodes of the season.
Four and five.
And they are...
Does that have anything to do with the introduction of a certain Jerry Ryan?
I mean, sure, and yet
and
no.
And the hunt for Maddox.
And the hunt for Maddox.
Maddox.
Yeah. But I do think that we were sort of doing a thing that these guys did more on Next Gen that was in TOS, where you'd sort of do... You could play with tone in a standalone in a way that you really can't in something that's heavily serialized. So we sort of have this breath. 1, 2, and 3 are very serialized. 4 and 5 are a little bit more of a lark. And then...
Well, it resembles a mission.
In 4,
they said, we're going to Free Cloud.
Yes.
And then 5, we arrive at Free Cloud. But that's about as much of of the arc as we say on.
Interesting terminology, Mr. Director. This resembles a mission.
Well, it does resemble a mission. I mean, the ship is not the kind of ship that Picard... before. This ship is a freighter, an old box. It's like a boxcar. And what Patrick wonderfully resists each time he looks at the captain's chair or tells him, or gives an order and says, no, I know, it's not my ship. Go ahead. That's a great runner. That he just lightly adds levity to the show, which we desperately need. And everyone expects him to say engage or give orders, and he defers to the Captain Rios, which is delightful.
Okay, I dropped a pretty foolproof idea of you into the system. You are now a facer. Famous, but not too famous.
Pretty foolproof.
We're not exactly working with a whole lot of time here.
Rafi, are you serious sending us down there looking like this?
Well, facers tend to dress very flamboyant, JL. It's protective coloration. You're playing go-between. You want to stand out. You don't want anyone mixing you up with the other side.
Do you feel like now that you guys are, you're halfway through the first season?
No. We're through with the first season. You guys are halfway through.
Okay, so us common folk out here.
Out there. What's it like?
It's warm.
Is it?
It's warm. It's good. There's coffee.
Is there coffee?
Yeah, there's coffee. Yeah, there's coffee. Nobody comes and attacks at night. Just saying. But
how about Picard? How about the way Picard's been received?
They like it. They like it. They really like it.
Unbelievable.
Has it been, what have you guys, I mean, because this is what I was going to ask, like halfway through, where is this thing at for you guys?
You're going there.
Where?
Better than we dared hope.
Oh, God, yes.
Right?
Oh,
the way that the audience was at Vegas when Patrick announced with Alex, and then at Comic-Con.
San Diego.
We had nothing to do but fail. The appetite for this show was unlike any other show since ever. They hated our show, Next Gen, because they wanted Kirk, Spock, and Bones. They resisted us. They didn't want an old bald captain from England with a French name. Then they barely accepted JJ's world with all those wonderful actors. And then
hold on, Jonathan. I mean, I would say as a TNG devotee.
No. In the beginning,
a couple of seasons in. Trust me, you guys.
Yeah, but
solid.
That's a couple of seasons. Yeah. That's 50 shows, dude. Yeah. We did 26 shows.
Dude, I watched all of them at 2 a.m. I know there were 50 shows.
But I'm saying, I remember being at these conventions and not knowing what I was getting into, and it was a very reticent audience.
And Discovery, they didn't
exactly.
like
exactly the they same thing with like, Discovery. They didn't want to do, but with Picard, because of the love for Patrick, the audience was inclined to, hungry for, and already bought into the show. Yeah. So we had nothing to do. But
it's got revival energy.
You know, yeah, but
it's a favorite.
Yeah,
that's a horrible precipice to be.
I think nobody really. I think you couldn't dwell on the drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we tried really hard. And God knows we've all talked about this. Like, you're surrounded by people who really love Star Trek, so we were sort of like, I actually think we're making a show that we like, and so there should be other fans out there who like it too. But mostly at this point, I think what you're doing these days, when you make a thing, no matter how hard you try to make it, is hoping you don't get in trouble. Like, it's so,
well, what does trouble look like?
Well, trouble means that you are destroyed critically and commercially because everything is so binary now that it's either acceptance or rejection.
And it happens, yeah, and it happens fast.
But you're on a streamer. It's not like network where you're like, oh, Jesus, nobody watched last night.
Well, but
I mean, oh, it could have been.
You don't know. You don't think that shows on streamers are rejected.
I think shows are, but I think shows, you know how there's a talk on the big screen, like, well, it used to be when movies would come out, they would have a little bit of time to find an audience. They'd have another weekend. Now it's like, if your opening weekend is nothing, correct, you're nobody, right? Correct. I think that is true of the big screen for the most part. But I think now in the streaming world, there is, relative to everything else, there is a little bit of like, okay, so your show came out and you found a voice and you found a place, you found a footprint.
Perhaps, but for CBS All Access, it's the number of subscriptions is the ratings right now.
Well, but we don't know, right? They won't tell us, right? But
can you get Patrick to make them tell you?
No, no. He has... they have a Polaroid of Patrick. That
I heard about this Polaroid. Yeah. All I know is for those of you listening, I'm just going to say two words: Ian McKellen. And that's, you don't really need to know much more than that, but definitely he's involved. So we'll move past that Polaroid.
You're a little jealous, right?
I saw them in Waiting for Godot, my friend. I saw.
He's still waiting.
I waited. Still kept waiting.
And the other one, in No Man's Land, the Pinter. They were just astounding. Mm-hmm.
I saw them on the red carpet in London. That was really cool.
He married Patrick and Sonny. And those of us who were at the wedding were not quite sure he didn't actually marry himself to Patrick at the event.
Did Sir Ian just like put one of his scarves up just at that moment when something was being signed?
I took a car ride with the two of them once, and my son, and Ian was talking about Michael Fassbender the entire time.
Uh-huh.
Like what he thought about Michael Fassbender. My son was like 7 years old. I'm like, could you kind of tone it down a little bit?
Oh, Magneto on Magneto. That's a whole other podcast, my friend.
I admire the Rangers' goals, their courage, their tenacity. But you are taking the law into your own hands.
What law?
Point taken. Nevertheless, to appoint yourself judge and jury.
I'm not here for a lecture. You think of me as a vigilante, fine. Ranging is my job. It's not saving the galaxy. It's helping people who have no one else to help them. It's hopeless and pointless and exhausting, and the only thing worse would be giving up. Free Cloud Works, you can drop me there.
So, but now where you're at and you see the reaction, because I think Jonathan's very right. I mean, I was all in, but I know a lot of people love to see something faceplant. Yes. They love to see a faceplant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Exactly.
They love to react to it.
Well, it's noisy, they love to react now, to right? That's what we do. That's how we get heard. We say negative shit.
But how do you think you keep it? You keep it going. 10 episodes is a lot.
Bullshit.
Okay, I'm not.
26 episodes.
I was a year okay. A lot. Okay, great. 1995 was a very good year. We'll phone Bill Clinton up. But what I'm saying is 10 episodes is a lot today.
There we go.
And importantly, 10 episodes is a lot today because if you're going to get an audience to watch 10 episodes and you're not dropping it all in one load, you definitely have commitment on your side.
I have issue with that. Sentence structure.
The syntax.
I mean, it's a family show. This is a family podcast. It's
not a family show. Okay. This is not a family fair podcast.
It's funny because, yes, and there's an argument to be made that in some ways, if you get them interested, a weekly drop is better than...
Really?
I think so. Because it's the closest thing it approximates in... Now, obviously, these are smaller orbits... But it approximates what we used to call water cooler chat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now it's on the internet. But the conversation that happens, good and bad, over a weekly drop is different.
But then to flip that, Because I'm not, I'm a big fan of the simultaneous launch. I am. But
you
to
like,
flip,
you mean all the episodes?
I like getting all my episodes. It's, I'll name drop another CBS All Access show, which is Interrogation.
What?
I love the
what?
Fact. I love the way that show works.
Other CBS All Access shows?
I am one of those people who actually know for a fact there's other things on CBS
you
All Access besides
that.
Star Trek.
There's not.
Well, there's Star Trek shorts.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I love, they dropped all 10 episodes, and part of their hook is, you can watch this in many different ways. You can watch episode 8 and you don't have to watch it after 7 or before 9, this and that. The show works on a modular level.
Well, that
right?
seems relatively unique.
Unique or not, it works. But what I wonder about is if you make a show like Picard with the immensely high expectation of, okay, when is he going to say engage? When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Mm-hmm. How are they going to get you past this? And everyone's like, they're waiting, and then they're waiting to diss on it. It was like, that wasn't a hard enough engage, or the dog's number one, and this and that. It's a stupid in-joke, or that's a great in-joke, or whatever they say. But you have to sit there and be like, well, guys, just wait till next week, and you'll see when this happens, right? Like, you're also stuck with having to take the shrapnel as well as the luck.
Yeah, but don't you love the loyalty? The fact that people, they do water cooler this show.
Yeah.
They wait for it. They talk about it. I run into people in the streets who talk about this show the way I used to talk about, Dallas or the show that way, you know, where you
or Next Generation.
Or Next Generation. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
You don't think so?
This is bigger. This show,
really?
Well, the stakes are higher. The show is a much, much more
because of the
ambitious
of Next Generation.
No, but the show is much more ambitious.
Oh, costs yeah. more.
But it costs more.
Next Generation.
The pedigree of the people involved is, I mean, God bless.
Okay, but let's stop there. But how do you mean it's more ambitious? Because coming from you, that's a potentially loaded statement or a very complex one.
Well, that word. The show is more complex. It has expectation to deliver a new Star Trek, which it does. It doesn't have the luxury of seeking new worlds. It doesn't have any canon except Patrick. And you're taking a chance with 4 or 5 new series regulars to play with him. Everything about it, he starts in a fucking vineyard somewhere, alone and depressed and tired and trying desperately to look older than he is. It's a very ambitious undertaking that is succeeding, I think, better than we dared hope. I've never been prouder of anything that I've been involved in than
wow.
this show.
What would you say is the reason for that? If there was one core thing that you would point to as the secret of that success, is there?
I think Patrick buying in, the fact that it's Akiva and Michael and Alex, it's the pedigree. Patrick said it all the time, every time he's asked. The quality, the level of intelligence, the fact that we don't insult the audience by spelling all this shit out. You can figure this out on your own. You either understand it or you don't, or you get the layers that are in there or you don't, or you get some of the irony or the sarcasm or the levity. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah. But that's something to that, which is the what I would call the lack of obviousness in many ways. And we don't do recaps on the show, but I do want to talk a little bit about this is really, this is Jerry Ryan, like, just flying in this one.
Can I do this?
Because this will help you. Previously on Deadline Podcast.
That help?
It's actually technically called the Star Trek Picard podcast, but
better.
Hey, if you want to get sued by CBS, my friend, line up.
Previously on Star Trek Picard podcast, Deadline.
But she's flying in this.
She's better than she'd ever been.
Yeah, I would say. I would agree with that. I would agree. And I think she's pretty great. But definitely.
I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. And when she and Patrick sit down and drink whiskey and talk about what their plans are, and then there's a great scene, and I think it's in this episode, in 5, where she's about to beam back to Bejazel, and they pass on the transporter pad and have a little brief scene about what it felt like. Do you still feel the Borg inside you? Get me? And they say, yeah, but we fight it every day. And it just, it like it's in passing. On the street, you're a Borg, I'm a Borg. It's like when people have a boat and they wave to you like this. Yeah, I know, I got a boat. You got a boat.
That was a pork. You were a pork.
So
it's not quite like that.
Not quite like that.
It's a little deeper than that.
But it's interesting that Jonathan talks about that scene, because that is exactly the kind of scene that comes from what we like to think of as the more challenging choices. So we have always known that Seven of Nine and Locutus have been infected by the Borg and then liberated from the Borg. We know in canon that, at least in known canon, they've never met. We have 20 years. We can make a choice. The choice could be, oh, they ran into each other, right? And that creates a much easier scene. But we choose to say they didn't. We played with two ideas. One is, when you share abuse, it pushes you towards someone else who's shared that experience. Or the other is, they're a dark mirror. Mm-hmm. And so you do your time to avoid, you avoid them over time. And that's what we did. And so we made up a story in our minds about why these two never cross paths, and all the things they never said to each other. And all of that landed in that little scene.
That's why that was so loaded both of them.
Yeah, and so it really is true about writing, right? Which is, if you know, Hemingway was right, you know, it is the tip of the iceberg. If you really do that work, and then, you know, you have people thinking about using their pens well enough, then you kind of get those scenes, but they have to start with the character choices that are really hard. And that's what's fun about this object, and that's what's ambitious about it, is at any turn we kind of go, what's the most complex choice here? Because that's going to give us the most drama. So I'm glad.
And it's a choice that Patrick can handle.
Well, that's the thing.
Decent,
right?
Yeah. Decent actor.
Turns out.
As it turns out.
I mean, if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got upside.
But also, his litmus test was so great for all of us, you know. That bullshit about actors saying, my character would never eat this, is really, it worked here.
What was it like, you know, whenever we talk to you or we see you or see your name on a credit, there's that Jonathan, and then there's the Jonathan on the other side of the camera. We know that we've seen in the trailer that you are going to be on screen for Picard.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Oh,
Jesus. Shut it down.
Right. Again, as I said, if CBS wants to sue, they know our address. Nonetheless,
what was that like?
No, I don't want to. Everybody was going to ask you what it's like. No, what I want to know is, I'm going to ask you what it's like when we talk about that episode, when we get down the road. What I'm interested in is when we're talking about that scene with Jerry and Patrick.
Right.
And there's you, who you have the knowledge of, okay, I'm directing. We got this. It's going to happen. And then you are like, but I'm also part of this mythology on that side as well. And so I wanted to get a sense of how that resonates with you.
Wow.
Because you're unique to that. I mean, no, Brent's unique. I mean, there's about five people.
But he's really unique, because he's a deep architect and builder on one side and a deep participant on the other side.
With more information or more experience. And generally, I stay out of the way. But if
there's... Like traffic cop?
Unfortunately, yeah. But if you have Jerry and Patrick playing Seven and Picard, and you're pointing the camera in the right direction,
right,
you're in pretty good shape. And, you know, if there's a nuance or if you want to lean into something, but they've thought about these scenes. Jerry's thrilled to be working with Patrick. Patrick is so generous to this cast in a way that his experience, and Patrick is a different man than he was 20 years ago on so many levels. One of them is that he's more vulnerable, and he's embraced that. And that character is more interesting than the powerful, all-powerful Picard. He comes to see Riker, the guy that I play in a future episode.
I've heard of that guy.
Right. And he says, I think I'm in over my head. He comes to me for help, which would never have happened.
Jean-Luc Picard would have never said that.
No.
And actually, it's strange you say, I mean, I think also, and maybe I'm reading between the lines too much, and we're going to wrap today's episode up, but I think that that's true of Patrick Stewart, the man, as well as Jean-Luc Picard, the character.
I didn't know him ages ago, but boy, he's super collaborative now. Like,
I love how no one can hear you smile on radio or podcast, but I love how you're doing that.
I did the smile just for the podcast.
It's a smile.
You can hear me smile.
You can hear a smile in space. Exactly. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Star Trek Picard podcast. We hope you enjoyed that.
And as always, you can join us every week as we go through this first season of the CBS All Access show. Or you can also as well, I will say, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Either way, join us for more Picard every week.